We had far more control over our health and well-being than anyone ever imagined. And we had these tools that we could take advantage of.
Hi, welcome to Resonate, conversations and life lessons from Rancho La Puerta. I'm your host, Barry. This year, the ranch is celebrating its 85th birthday. Longevity is one of our running themes this year. Not only is the ranch having a long life, we humans are living longer and longer. The age demographic of 65 and older is the fastest growing demographic on the planet. In fact, this age demographic is expected to double in the next 25 years. Age wave is a term coined back in the 80s to study this trend by Ken Dykewald and his wife, Maddie. Their organization does research and reports on how this trend affects healthcare, the economy, and ultimately our futures. My guest today is Maddie Dykewald. She's an author in her latest book, Ageless Aging, A Woman's Guide to Increasing Health Span, Brain Span, and Lifespan. Maddie is a sought-after speaker on longevity and aging. Today, we are gifted with an extra 20 to 30 years after our retirement. We want to enjoy these years and be healthy. Maddie has well-researched advice on how women and men can do just this. Hey, Maddie. Welcome. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Barry. It's a pleasure to be here.
I've got in this habit of always asking my guests, where are you at today? So where are you coming to us from?
Oh, location-wise. Okay, I live in Arinda, California, and I'm at home and in the San Francisco Bay Area.
That's wonderful. Okay, now I know you just recently, this last year, put out this new book, right? Ageless Aging. But you started back in the 80s with this whole thing. Your husband and you started the age wave in 1986. What is the age wave?
Okay, well, age wave is our company. And way back when, and close to 40 years ago, really.
It's shocking.
Ken and I recognized the fact that there was this demographic shift taking place, which is a fancy way of saying that we're seeing a lot more older people and our birth rates were not growing the way they had been in the past. And that there was this negative image of what it was like to be at the time over 50. In fact, 50 was looked at as over the hill. So we decided that we were going to change the narrative. And in fact, we were lucky enough that we did. We got all these corporate clients, mostly Fortune 50 companies, and we went out and did speeches, started with speeches, letting them know that 50 is not over the hill, and that people over the age of 50 not only were vibrant, joyful, pretty healthy, they were also into trying new brands and doing new things and having new experiences. And the concept caught on. And that's how we started Age Wave.
So Age Wave was basically looking kind of like at the baby boomers. And
that's right. We hate to say it now because boomers, like, it's got kind of a bad vibe going on with it. But yeah, that's where it started.
And it was perceptive of you guys because longevity is definitely, since 1986, has really gone up. I was looking in your book about the age, how people have gone up since the year 2000 even. So in the year 2000, it was 77 years. And now for women, it's 80. And for men, it's 74 years.
It's actually 81 for women now.
Okay.
And during COVID, it went down a little bit, but it's since gone back up again. So that's great news. And good news, bad news, women, we've won the longevity lottery. We live about 5 to 6 years longer than men.
I noticed also that men has actually declined a little bit since 2000. What do you think that is caused by?
Well, part of it is the COVID thing, and that was, of course, not until 2019. But I believe that it has to do with the way we take care of ourselves. I mean, recent science has told us that up to 90% of our health and well-being has to do with the way we take care of ourselves, with our lifestyle and our environment. And we're beginning to hear more and more about the environment, which is kind of scary because it gives us a little less control. We want to take this message to heart a little bit more than men, which is great news in terms of longevity. There is a dark side, if you don't mind my saying so. I wish it was all good news, but for women, we've, won the longevity lottery, but we have lost when it comes to our health span and our brain span. We don't do as well as men, even though we live longer.
Right. So you're alluding to in your book, you talk about the three types of aging, right?
Yes.
There's biological and there's health span and brain span.
Well, yeah, there's biologic aging, there's chronologic aging,
okay,
and there's psychologic aging.
Okay.
And health span and brain span relates to all of them.
So, briefly, what are those?
Okay, so chronologic aging is how many birthdays have you had? So,
right.
I have recently had my 75th birthday.
Oh,
so
happy
chronologically,
birthday.
nobody wants to put out their age, but I do it all the time. So,
right, yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, chronologically, I'm 75, but then there's my biology or my physiologic health and well-being. And there are tests that you can take now that tell you how old you are from a physiologic standpoint. And guess what? I've taken one and I'm 51.
That's awesome. You don't even look 51. So that's amazing.
Thank you. I mean, yeah, we have these perceptions of what something looks like, but then there's the psychological side of aging. And to me, in a way, this is like the gift of aging. And that is that as people get older, they often become more resilient than younger people. And we really got to see this during COVID when young people were the ones who were really suffering from loneliness, mental health issues, depression. Whereas older people, we've been through a lot. We've seen the stock market go up and down. We've seen other health crises, presidential breakdowns. So we know, you know what? We're going to get through this too. So we have a little more physical, but more importantly, mental resilience.
Right. We still see that there's a tomorrow out there, right?
That's right. And we also have a little bit more emotional intelligence.
Well, I was reading that, the brain doesn't even completely form until you're in your mid-20s. So, yeah, it's a harder thing. Our founder, Deborah, Deborah Zake, she'll be 103 in May.
I know.
And I get to spend time with her every week. But she says, she has a little quote. One of her quotes is that, how old would you be if you didn't know how old you were? So I think that speaks to the brain part of it, of your perception. And I know that in your book, you talk a little bit about how if you have a healthy perception of aging, you can actually add 6 to 7 years to your life. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, it's even better than that as a recent scientific discovery. First, let me say that Deborah, she's one of the role models of aging. And I have never met anyone with more resilience than Deborah. I mean, she's pretty amazing. Then we talk about positive attitude is the way that people think about it and talk about it. But it is the perception of aging. And Dr. Becca Levy from Yale has done studies on this. She went out into the field in Ohio, of all places. But she went out and she studied people for a long time, for like 7 to 10 years. And what she found was that those individuals who thought more positive about their own aging, actually, it could add up to 10 years to their lifespan, and which is amazing all by itself. But there's been some further studies that shows that, yes, having that positive attitude about your aging and other people around you, their aging, it can actually reduce your risk of cardiovascular disease by up to 40%. I mean, imagine that. That's crazy, right?
No, it's amazing. That's amazing. It's kind of a... I think our society is very, has been ageist. And I think that it speaks to if we can shift our view. Because you mentioned about how you, not only your own aging, but the people aging around you. Because Because, you know, it's like sometimes like I find myself even guilty going, it's that person is getting older. But in reality, so am I. We all are every day. So it's just
Aging is a lifelong process. It begins at birth and goes to the day you die. So that's aging. But yeah, you are so right, Barry. I mean, we have this narrative of aging as being bad, that we don't want to age. And it's almost perverted, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you talk also about the inverted U about with aging, or that, you know, how that.
Yeah. There's a big study done at Stanford University, and we've done one at AgeWave as well, that confirms the fact that there is this U shape of happiness. So hopefully it's still true today. When you're young, when you're really young, you're pretty happy. Although there are some statistics more recently that tell us that young people, especially since COVID, are not doing as well as they used to. But then what we see happening is during those working years and building a family years, our happiness actually drops pretty low. We're pretty stressed out. But then we hit around 50 and suddenly the kids are growing up and we're maybe a little more stable in our work environment. And we have more free time potentially. We see that our happiness actually begins to soar and our anxiety levels actually tend to decrease. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And I've read that in a couple of different places recently. So I think that's super cool. Now, your book it focuses on women.
And it does.
I went to the Global Wellness Summit a few years back. And one of the big themes was, and I've heard you mention this in the past as well, is that almost all of the studies ever done in medicine until recently and about health is always done on men. It's never been done on women. It's especially the longitudinal studies too. That's a shift, right?
There are some really surprising statistics when you look at it, and that's one of them. And in fact, it wasn't until 2016, which isn't that far away, that the FDA told clinical trials done by pharmaceutical companies that they ought to, not that they have to, but they ought to include women in their clinical trials. So drugs in general haven't even been tested on women. There's this assumption that we're all exactly the same. And I think AI is going to help solve that, both for the gender divide, but also because we're all individuals. We all are different from one another. And I think, you know, yay AI.
Right.
That's one of the places they can really help out.
Yeah, no, for sure. So what was your motivation to write this book specifically?
Well, I wrote this book during COVID, and as you know, AgeWave, we've been on the cutting edge of research into aging, longevity, and the new retirement for close to 40 years. And so along the way, we've built up this network of experts that we rely on and have created relationships with, including Deborah, by the way, where, you know, scientists, experts, researchers, those at the cutting edge. And so what I decided to do, both for my own health and well-being, because I had a little bit of a health crisis during COVID, which I can tell you about if you want, but also to let other people know that we had control, that we had far more control over our health and well-being than anyone ever imagined, and that we had these tools that we could take advantage of. So I interviewed close to 100 experts, and I began to realize that, it's not really just about one thing. It's about this, like, holistic bouquet of ingredients that don't sit in silos by themselves, but they work together to help us live better longer.
There's something, we've already said it, but it's in the last 10 years, it's so on the forefront, is that we are 90% in control of our health.
Right.
It's not you were born with a certain genetics and now you're screwed for the rest of your life, because our behaviors can turn on and off our different genes. Is that correct?
That's right. That's called epigenetics. Your genetics, which, you know, that's what you're born with. And I believe it's after the age of 85 that becomes a little bit more important. But through most of our lives. It's the epigenetics. It's the turning on and off of the good genes, turning on the good genes, hopefully, and turning off the bad genes that we actually have enormous control over. And I know, you know, people at the ranch are really familiar with this concept because they live it. They teach it.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, it seems like all the behaviors are the same for everyone, you know?
Okay. So yeah, you're right. Men and women, for sure. But there's little nuances that are different. And part of why I focused on women is one of the things I did is I went out and did research and I thought, oh, there's a lot of books on longevity, but most of them are not aimed at women. They're aimed at men. And there are some differences. And I wanted to point those differences out. So yeah, my book is 85% great for men and women, but that extra little bit is really focused on women.
So what are some of the differences that happen to men and women as we age?
Okay, so for one thing, women live longer than men, but they also, our health span, which is the number of healthy years that we live, and our brain span, the number of years that our brain is functioning well, we women were not doing as well as men. We tend to spend the last, on average, 12 to 14 years in a cascade of bad health, things like arthritis, heart disease, chronic diseases, things that strike us as we get older, and we suffer from them more than men do. And so we need to take more control. Now, we already mentioned one of the reasons that that may be true, and that is that our pharmaceutical industry, our healthcare industry has been primarily focused on men.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, there's this whole science of health called women's health that's all about gynecological health. It's about having babies and what happens afterwards. I mean, so that's what women's health has always been. So yeah, there are these hormonal shifts that take place in women and men that are very different from each other, very different. And there's been a lot of misinformation given to women by well-meaning physicians and gynecologists about menopause.
Right.
And that's being corrected, but not by everyone. And it's really sad to me. In fact, the person who I wrote this book with, Kate Hanley, she, when we were writing the book, I was telling her about this. And so she went to her doctor who wouldn't prescribe her with any kind of hormone replacement at all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, menopause, I mean, for me growing up, the word menopause, you hardly said it, and it was like a bad word and a scary word. And
once you
hit menopause, that's pretty much all downhill from there. That was kind of the perception.
And what it still is to a great extent. There's been, you know, some celebrity like endorsement of menopause and hormonal replacement because these women, people like Naomi Watts and Halle Berry, have gone through menopause themselves, or at least perimenopause. And they're like, no, this is normal aging. This is what half the population goes through. So Halle Berry's story is particularly interesting. She went to the doctor complaining about symptoms, and the doctor told her that she had an inflammatory disease when in fact what she had was going through menopause.
Mm-hmm. So when women go through menopause, Is it a hormonal thing mostly for women? And then
well, it's a hormonal shift that takes place that affects all the organs in your body.
Right.
And it affects your brain. In fact, it affects sleep, by the way, very dramatically. Mood, very dramatically. It can have enormous impact on your whole body-mind system. And yet it's something that can be dealt with relatively simply.
Okay, so let's hear how we deal with it simply.
Well, you know, again, I am not an expert on menopause. I'm merely reporting what was reported to me, and I spoke to three or four different menopause specialists. And so the first thing I would tell women who are experiencing the symptoms of perimenopause and don't know what to do, you know, go online, find a menopause specialist near you, not just a gynecologist, but a menopause specialist.
Mm-hmm.
And most women, not all women, but most women do very well taking hormone replacement. And that's like taking the natural, the bioidentical hormone replacement, not the synthetic stuff. You don't want the synthetic stuff, because there was like a study done that came out in 2002, which was a very flawed study that used synthetic hormones. And that's a lot of where the misinformation actually comes from. So number one, see a menopause specialist. Number two, don't be afraid of hormone replacement. With the caveat is if you have breast or gynecologic cancers running in your family, then you need to dig a little bit deeper.
Right. So that one study, is this still, is this still prevalent?
You know, I hate to say it, like I'm shaking my head, like in disbelief.
Right.
Because yes, it is. There are still physicians out there who are working off of that, keeping in mind that many of them went to medical school during the time that study was released. And they're well-meaning physicians, but doctors are so inundated with new studies and new research and new findings and 15-minute appointments and trying to manage a business that right. while also caring for patients, that, you know, they don't always get it right.
Have there been more studies since 2002?
There have been other studies that have come out since then. And most of the research that's been done since then actually endorses the idea of hormone replacement. But again, the bioidentical hormone replacement, hormone patches, like endocrine patches, instead of taking pills, definitely a better move. And then using a progesterone replacement, a bioidentical one, something right. that works well with your body.
And at what age do women start to have? I'm sure it ranges with different women.
There is an age range, yeah. Some women get it really early. Naomi Watts talked about getting it at her late 30s. That's unusual. Most women, it's in their late 40s, early 50s. And, you know, they get hot flash. Hot flashes are a symptom, not being able to sleep symptom, but the gray matter in your brain can actually shrink. Hormone replacement can take care of that.
Right. I interviewed a woman who's just wrote a book on eating to prevent Alzheimer's. And one of the things that came up in our conversation was that there seems to be something protective about estrogen for a woman's brain.
That's right. So Alzheimer's disease is scary. In fact, in the studies we've done at AgeWave, people over 50 identify it as the scariest disease that they could potentially suffer from as they get older. Add to that the fact that women are twice as likely to suffer from Alzheimer's disease as men. But the good news is recent scientists have told us that there are steps we can each and every one of us take to either delay or prevent the onset of Alzheimer's and other cognitive decline issues. And that's good news. And eating has a lot to do with it, you know, getting rid of the bad and focusing on the good. It's not that complicated.
Yeah. So if women are twice as likely to suffer from Alzheimer's as they get older, it seemed like a logical link would be because women's estrogen drops as they get older. Is that
part of the puzzle, but that's you and me saying, yeah, we know way more than the scientists know.
No, I don't know anything for sure. But,
but you know, science is really unclear about it. They're not coming out with a specific reason. And part of the reason you alluded to before, and that is women are just not studied in medicine the way men are. And so they're not sure. There's not enough longitudinal information to put out there that can give us the answer. I would guess that the lack of estrogen certainly has something to do with it. So eating estrogen-rich foods, taking hormone replacement is certainly one step in the right direction.
Yeah. And I have my doctor had told me one time when I was getting my physical, he says, as you get older, men turn into women and women turn into men with our hormones. So maybe as a man's estrogen goes up, it helps protect him a little more from that. But then it's not good for other things. So, you know, you can't.
My name is Mike Hastings. I'm from Lafayette, California. And this is my fifth time at the ranch. My wife talked me into coming down here probably close to 20 years ago with a couples week, and it kind of just really resonated. And the ability for us to come together and enjoy and experienced a lot of different exercises, mental activities, the great food, and the people we've met here has just been very unique. This week has been a lot of fun. I brought my best friend from 56 years ago from the Marine Corps and his close friend, and they've come together, and we're happy to share this week together. We've been able to enjoy the exercises, the hikes, and the food, and benefiting very, very much from all of that.
I hope you're enjoying today's podcast as much as I am. To learn more about our wonderful presenters and exciting weeks coming up at the ranch, go to rancholaporta.com and check out our events calendar. Make sure to mention the podcast when making your reservation to take advantage of a special offer. Some restrictions may apply. I hope you're enjoying today's podcast as much as I am. To learn more about our wonderful presenters and exciting weeks coming up at the ranch, go to rancholaporta.com and check out our events calendar. Make sure to mention the podcast when making your reservation to take advantage of a special offer. Some restrictions may apply. Besides hormone replacement therapy, what are some of the other things that you recommend for people so that they can have an ageless aging process?
Oh, wow. Okay. Again, I think there's this holistic recipe. I don't think it's about just one thing. I think it's about this bouquet of ingredients that all work together. They're not in silos. They work together. To me, though, people are always asking, okay, what's the silver bullet? Yeah. And I would say, okay, if there is a silver bullet, it would be exercise. Right. And yeah, cardiovascular is really important. But most recent science tells us that building muscle mass is the most important thing you can do as you get older. Because if you don't have muscle mass, you might fall, break a hip, and then begin an entire cascade of negative health issues. So you don't want that for sure. In fact, there was a study done just last year that was shown in the Annals of Medicine that told us that muscle mass should be a new vital sign, similar to our heart rate and our blood pressure. So it's that important.
There are women that have, because I've been in this industry forever.
Oh, yeah.
I've had women say, you know, I don't want to lift weights because I don't want to get big and bulky. Or then there's the other side that says, well, we don't have enough testosterone in our system to actually gain muscle, and at a certain age you start to lose muscle. So what do you say to those kind of people?
Okay, well, you do start to lose muscle mass as early as in your late 30s, and that's all of us, men, women,
yeah,
we all do. And you want to maintain your muscle mass because it creates, it's good for your bones, for one thing, and structurally, it makes you look 1,000 times better. And I think that there's been these sort of myths put into place that as you build muscle mass, and I heard them too when I was younger. Right. I don't want to build muscle mass. I want long, lean muscles. But you can build long, lean muscles using weights. And right. You know, almost everybody today agrees that, you know, strength training is the way to go. It's really important.
Thank gosh, because that's what we do here at the ranch. That's one of our.
That's right. I love it there.
One of our components, and it is so important. So what about eating? What about what we put into our bodies?
Oh, wow. It's a big issue, what we eat. You know, we can break it down into a few. There's some simple things, and then there's some little nuances. So the simple things, you know, don't eat a lot. You don't need to eat as much as you think you do. You want to get rid of the bad and focus on the good. And what is the bad? The ultra-processed foods are terrible for us. Get rid of them. Fried foods, get rid of them. My daughter recently said to me that she was going to use an air fryer. And I said, really? You're going to put your food into plastic, put it at a high temperature, and eat microplastics for dinner? So, you know, there's that also. Ooh.
Yeah.
Getting rid of the seed oils. Seed oils are not good for us. Get rid of them. On the other side of it, olive oil is really good for you. You want to go for the extra virgin olive oil. I personally think, and I believe that most nutritionists would agree with me, in today's world, eating organic is the way to go. There's been so much environmental waste out there that's everywhere. I mean, the glyphosates that are on our oats, for instance, I mean, I would not eat oats at all because even organic oats have the remnants of glyphosate on them. And you don't want that in your body. I would also urge people to get tested for these toxins that are out there in the environment in one shape or form or another so that you can keep your body clean. So eating, avoid sugar. I would limit dairy. And I would really think about the gluten very carefully before I put it in my mouth.
What about wine?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask that, Barry. Now, I used to love my glass of wine and still occasionally do. But, you know, the science has come out and told us that wine kills brain cells. And, you know, I have Alzheimer's running in my family, so I'm really not trying to kill brain cells. I'm trying to grow brain cells.
Right, yeah.
So I do everything I can to be healthy. An occasional glass of wine is not going to kill you, but, you know, drinking in excess really has a negative effect on your health and well-being.
Right. So we've talked a lot about, like, your eating, your hormone replacement, but what about this thing up here on top of our shoulders,
our brain.
Yeah. What about that? What are the healthy ways to deal with that?
Well, of course, exercise and eating a good, nutritious, green focused diet makes a world of difference. And it really does. But then we need to look at sleep. I think sleep is a big part of keeping our brain healthy. And what's really bizarre in our world, when I was doing the research for this book, Ageless Aging, what I did was I talked to a lot of sleep scientists. And what I realized very quickly is that sleep science is really part of circadian rhythm science. Mm-hmm. And it's only been done on people under the age of 65. So if you're over the age of 65, the sleep science that's out there, it doesn't really necessarily pertain to you. So that's one thing. Second, that circadian rhythm thing, which I think is so important. What you do in the morning really affects your sleep at night. And that, to me, is a critical piece of the puzzle. I mean, once I realized that in my personal life, it made a huge difference for how I approach sleeping.
So what do you do in the morning then? What is the right thing to do?
Okay, so I wake up hopefully about the same time every day. I usually wake up around 6. And I, especially in the spring, starting right about now, I open up my shades and my curtains, and I spend the first 10 minutes sort of meditating in front of the sun because we're lucky we get a sunrise right from our windows. And that's the best thing that I can do. At night, the things that I do is I try to go to sleep at the same time every night. I try to stop eating at least 4 hours before I go to sleep. Makes a huge difference. So you're not trying to sleep and you're not trying to digest food at the same time. I get rid of all the blue light things like computers and iPads and phones. I try to do that. And I try to keep that routine pretty consistent. I was having a lot of trouble waking up in the middle of the night. And what I assume, though, it's because I have to get up and go to the bathroom, but it wasn't that at all. I just was so habitually used to getting up at that hour, same hour, 3 o'clock in the morning, every single night. And then I just changed a few things and now I'm sleeping through the night.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that because I know so many people as they get older feel like they can't sleep as well. And at 3 seems to be the time people always seem to wake up.
I know.
I don't know what's going on with that, but
something with the circadian rhythms, I guess.
Right, I think so. So what do you think about your attitude and your like thinking positive and having gratitude? How does that play into your mental health and your overall health?
I think we talked a little bit about this already, but I'll mention it again, and that is that positive attitude makes all the difference in the world. I mean, it can actually impact not just how long we live, and it does show that there's an increase in how long we live, but how well we live. In fact, those with a more positive attitude towards their aging and those aging around them, they tend to have less cardiovascular disease, fewer strokes, healthier cognitive health. I mean, it's a real recipe for success. I mean, look at, we have some great examples now. I mean, look at Dolly Parton. She's right. Amazing.
Yeah,
Oprah
for sure.
Winfrey, Martha Stewart. I mean, she even was in jail when she was in her 70s, and she's thriving yeah. today.
We do have a lot of better role models now than we had in the past. I mean, I just keep going back through this to my head too, how you had mentioned that women, even though you're living, was it 6 years longer than men?
But five
you're
to
not
six, yeah.
5 to 6, but those years aren't always healthy years.
That's right.
And so I wonder if it has the environmental factor too, that I think that a lot of women in relationships tend to be the caregivers. And then when their husband dies, you know, then they've let go of themselves because they've been taking care of them for years.
That's exactly right. And in fact, caregivers really need to pay attention to their health and well-being as much as they take care of the health and well-being of those they're providing mm-hmm. care for. And what's right. really ironic is you hit it before, and that is that, you know, women tend to live longer than men. They spend more years caregiving those they love. And in the process, they often spend down their savings and end up, you know, with not enough money to take care of themselves. And that's something that you really want to avoid.
Right. Is it, and how important it is, do you think it is for your brain to continue to learn new things? I know that if I plan to like not retire at 65, because I'm still healthy and I still have a lot of years, I feel like I can contribute. But I was one person I interviewed. He says, you know, by the time you're 35, you're obsolete in our job market these days because of technology and AI and how quickly everything's moving.
Yeah.
So, you know, what advice would you have for someone is just keep learning?
I think that, you know, first of all, learning is good for your brain, and not repetitive exercises of learning, but trying new things. So learning a new language is a great example, but doing Wordle, not as good an example.
Right.
So, you know, that can kind of give you the depth and breadth of it. So yeah. And I think today with things moving so quickly and so much change taking place and having facts and figures at your fingertips through ChatGPT, I mean,
yeah,
you don't need an expert for that.
Right. Yeah.
You need people who can synthesize information and turn it into something new, turn it into something exciting. And I think, yeah. you know, that is not something that's based on age, but the willingness to be creative and the willingness to try new things and to learn new things. So
right.
I think, you know, yeah, there's some older people who are very set in their ways and not willing to do that. But then there's some young people who are like that as well.
Right. Yeah. No, absolutely. So, I mean, still staying like Deborah always, like, stay involved in life. That's the trick. The other thing you said, if there was a silver bullet, and I kind of agree with you, it's you could exercise. But for me, I would even say sometimes the word exercise, people don't like that word.
It sounds like
it sounds like work, but movement, I think movement is life. And so I notice, for example, with my parents, like they're in their mid 80s, but they just don't move. And I think a lot of their health issues and their problems come from the fact that they don't move. And so many people, when they get older, they think that they can't do anything anymore and sit in front of the TV and do things like that. And it's not true.
Yeah. And that's, you know, part of that is attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Where's their positive attitude towards aging? And the other thing is that you're 100% right. Movement is an elixir to life. It really is.
Right. Yeah. Well, you're like,
I think, by the way, I love at the ranch because you not only have classes, which are great, but it's such a beautiful environment to walk around. I love it.
Yeah. Being in nature is really good for your mental too. And
really good for your brain.
And as long as you said that, on June 21st this year, you will be at the ranch. And you will you be presenting for us at the ranch?
I will be presenting, and my husband Ken will be presenting. So
that's so awesome.
Yeah,
so
we're excited.
If anyone's watching and they want to come, right, see Maddie and her husband Ken, June 21st is beautiful. That's the first day of summer. Perfect.
This is, I didn't even realize that. Well, that's great. I should have. Yeah.
You're like a poster child for longevity. So I think, yeah. And I love that you're passionate and interested in it. And it's such a positive swing on what's happening.
Yeah, I love it. I feel like part of why I wrote this book is I wanted to like light a fire under people so that they know, you know, women men too, that they have more control over their futures, over their destiny, if you will, than they may realize. And in today's environment, I think we all need that message.
And you said something too. I saw you in an interview and you said it's never too early and it's never too late for anyone.
That is really
true. Start thinking different and start taking care of yourself. So
yeah, and I think that it's really important for people to know that, you know, there's some people, many who go to the ranch, who feel like they're in pretty good shape. And so maybe they just have to do one thing. Maybe they've got the movement thing in place, but maybe they need to work on their sleep or maybe on their attitudes. Who knows? But there's other people who are really suffering from, you know, maybe mental issues. Maybe they're suffering from the aches and pains of arthritis or heart disease, and they may have to be very diligent and work on more than just one thing. Right. Maybe they have to work on their movement, their diet, their sleep, brain health, everything all at once. And what they'll find is in a very short amount of time, they're going to feel like a different person, like your parents.
Yeah, the more you have to work on, the quicker the results happen when you
That's
start to
exactly
work on them.
Right.
So it's great. So thank you, Maddie, for spending this time with me today. And like I mentioned earlier before we started, that I will miss you this year because June 21st is when my only daughter is getting married. So I won't be here at the ranch at that time. But
we will miss you.
I will miss seeing you. But I'm so glad I got to spend this time with you. And I know that the ranch is looking forward to having you.
Thank you, Barry. It's been really a pleasure talking to you.
And it is a pleasure. Thanks. Some of the things I'm choosing to take away from my conversation with Maddie today about this whole aging process is that our happiness and resilience tends to increase as the number of years we spend on this planet increases. Perhaps it's the years of experience that remind us that this too shall pass. And these years have given us the opportunity to see that there is always a tomorrow. And most of the things we worry about and stress about don't matter in the long run. Over the past 10 years, thanks to epigenetics, we are learning that we can influence our health with our lifestyle choices. No, we can't change the genes we were given, but we can turn them on and off with healthy lifestyle choices. Some of these choices are movement every day, strength training, eating healthy organic food, and for some, even hormone replacement therapy. We're all aging every day, but it doesn't mean we have to get old. Hey, after all, 50 is the new 30, and hey, 60 is the new 40. See you soon. Until next time, continue health, joy, and lots of healthy lifestyle choices.